Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied richly to you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. From the closing verse of today's Holy Gospel, Jesus says, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." There is certainly a different mood in the church today than there was on Thanksgiving Day when Susan and I and our Aunt Margaret worshiped here at Faith. The mood and spirit has been changed dramatically. We have the Advent banners on the walls of the church. We omit certain portions of the liturgy. We focus our thoughts away from those 20-some Sundays after Pentecost when the liturgical color was green, and we focused on growth, to the theme of anticipation, excitement, coming, preparing ourselves for the arrival of our Lord. But it's not just in the church where we see a different mood. It's all around us. I managed to stay pretty much at home on Thursday. We had dinner with our family, but on Friday I did not go shopping except to one brief trip to Bi-Mart. I'm very proud of myself. I did not buy anything I did not need. But if you go to the malls and the big stores, there's a spirit of anticipation there as well. The Christmas decorations are all out. The PAs are playing Christmas hymns and Christmas carols and Christmas songs. And put them all together, and we have a mood, a spirit of anticipation and excitement. Advent is a time for getting ready. But when we heard today's appointed Holy Gospel, we heard yet a different mood. All the same, the spirit was the same, the theme was the same, I should say, getting ready, getting prepared. But the gospel for this first Sunday in Advent does not talk about preparing ourselves for the birth of Jesus. It does not speak to us about the coming of the Savior as a baby born in Bethlehem. Instead, it comes from near the end of Matthew's gospel, from Jesus teaching to his disciples during the very last week of his life. It's a word from our Lord calling us to get ready. And it's not a call for us to get ready for Christmas, but it's a call for us to get ready for the coming of Christ when he comes again at the close of the age. Instead of echoing the words from the Apostles' Creed that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, it focuses on the final sentence in the second article of the Creed. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Now, if I were to ask you to write down on a piece of paper a number, the number of times during the last week that you thought about the second coming of Christ, what would that number be? Other than preparing for this sermon, my number would have been a zero. And I'm guessing that most of you would write down a zero also. We don't think very much about the second coming of Christ. But if I were to ask you to write down the number of the times you thought about the possibility of your own death this past week, then that number might be different. There are all kinds of things that can remind us of our mortality. Driving down I-5, coming back from Portland, and almost getting killed in a traffic accident. Or going to the doctor for a routine physical, and he comes back and looks at your blood work and says, "I don't like what I'm seeing here." And you wonder, what does that mean for me? There are those occasions when somebody our age, or even younger than we, is struck with a fatal illness or dies. All those things can remind us of our impending death. And we one day are going to meet Jesus Christ, whether it's the last day of planet Earth or the last day of our lives. Fidel Castro met Christ last Thursday or Friday, whatever day it was he died. I was thinking as I was driving over here, every president of the United States except George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama has met Christ, for all the others have died. One day we too shall die and stand before Christ on that last day, whether it's the last day of our lives or the last day of planet Earth. And that's why on this first Sunday in Advent, on this first Sunday of the new church year, we hear Jesus saying to us, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." With cell phones, we know when guests are coming to visit us. They call us and tell us, but 20 years ago, until the beginning of time, guests would come, and we knew maybe they're coming today or tomorrow, but we don't know exactly what time they're going to be arriving. And so this sense of being ready, being prepared all the time for their arrival. Several years ago, we drove through Oklahoma City. And while we were there, we went to the Oklahoma City Memorial for the 168 men and women and even babies who were killed in the bombing of the Muir Federal Building in Oklahoma City. It was a very powerful and moving experience. But what made it even more poignant for us is that Timothy McVeigh, the perpetrator of that bombing, lived and grew up and lived about 3 miles from where we lived near Buffalo, New York. 168 people died in that bombing, and Timothy McVeigh, following a trial, was then executed and died also. But there was a big difference between the way those 168 people died and the way Timothy McVeigh died. They did not know they were going to die when they went to work that day. All of a sudden, boom, and they're dead. Timothy McVeigh, the murderer, found guilty by a jury, was sentenced to death by lethal injection and knew the day and the hour when his death would take place. I had a vicar, a seminary intern, in my congregation several years ago. He was what we call a second career pastor. His first career was as a police officer, and then after he put in 20 years as a police officer, he went to the seminary and studied to become a pastor. He told me once that as an officer, he had operated and worked many traffic accidents where there were fatalities. And he thought in every one of those cases, a person left their family that day to go to work, or they left work to go home, fully anticipating to reach their destination and go on with their life. But then the accident intervened and death struck them. Well, things like that do come without warning. Just as Jesus says his return at the last day will come without warning. That's why he says to us, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Earlier in the gospel reading for today, Jesus says, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." His point is that we should not speculate about when the end of the world will come. I heard a sermon one time where the preacher said that anyone who speculates about the date of Christ's second coming is showing an arrogance that places himself above Christ, because Christ says even he does not know the day or the hour, only the Father knows. What could it be compared with? Jesus compares it with the great flood. In the days of Noah, he said, when people had become so evil that God had no alternative but to destroy the world, sparing Noah and his family and starting over again, Jesus says, before it began to rain, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And then Jesus adds these words, "That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." And then he gives us a couple more pictures of the day of the end day, what it will be like. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two men are working side by side in a field where they've worked together for years. And one of them drops dead with a heart attack. Another is left. Or two women working side by side, grinding with a handmill, as they had done dozens of times before on that day. One is taken by death suddenly without warning, and only one is left. Jesus was a good teacher, and every good teacher uses images and pictures to make their point. And so Jesus uses images and pictures to make his point. Keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Now, up to this point, we have had absolutely no good news in this message. No gospel, nothing encouraging. Where is the gospel? Where's the good news? Well, the gospel, the good news is right here in this promise from Jesus, that he is going to come again. When Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after his resurrection, two angels came down and spoke to the disciples who were gazing intently to the sky, and the angels said to them, "The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." It's true, we do not know the day or the hour or the month or the year of Christ's second coming, but we do know that he is coming again. He will return. That's his promise to us. And that's the comforting message of the gospel. The comforting message of the good news is that Christ does not leave us alone on earth or alone in our graves, but he has not abandoned us. He is coming for us to take us to be with him forever. The Bible tells us that right now, on this 27th day of November in the year of our Lord 2016, Jesus is doing two things for us. One, he is praying for us. And secondly, he in heaven is preparing a place for us. "If I go," he says, "and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." I think I was about 8 or 9 years old. It was over 60 years ago. When my parents dropped me off at our local community swimming pool and said they were going to go shopping, would pick me up later. Soon after I began swimming, it began to rain, a cold rain. So I got out of the water, put my clothes on, and stood by the door of the entranceway to the swimming pool, waiting for my parents to come. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and they didn't come. Now, this is over 60 years ago, and I can remember that as clearly as if it were yesterday. I was probably standing out there crying because the wife of the owner of the swimming pool came out to me and talked to me. I can still remember her saying, "says, your parents won't forget you. They'll come and get you. Just wait. They'll be here in a few minutes." I think I stopped crying then because her words were very comforting for me. That's what Jesus is saying to you and to me today. He is coming back. He is coming to take us to be with himself forever. He who is praying for us right now, who is preparing a place for us in his Father's home, he will not leave us alone and forsaken. He will come back for us so that where he is, we may be also. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's why his call for us is to be ready at any and every time. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds secure in Christ Jesus through life everlasting.